May God bless our meditation on his word for us from Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we enter this summer season here at Trinity, continuing to gather to hear God's word and to receive his gifts to us that strengthen our faith in him. As the summer is now unofficially upon us, it's that time of year when we probably are looking forward to getting some rest. Rest from our busy school or work schedules. Rest from everything on our to-do lists. Rest from the usual things that make up our days, week in and week out. And so with that in mind, it's significant then that our readings from Scripture today appointed for us in the lectionary, they all focus on the idea of rest as well. But not a vacation or an extra hours of sleep kind of rest, but rather the Sabbath rest that God calls for his people to observe. Following their time in slavery, the Old Testament people of God were given his commandments. These commandments, of course, were meant to form and to shape the Israelites in their new life that was now free from slavery. These commandments were meant to guide and direct God's people in how they were to live, and they were meant to dictate the religious pattern of their community too. And so here in Deuteronomy 5, we hear one of these defining commandments and what we know as the third commandment. This command is the call to keep and observe the Sabbath, which was Saturday in the Old Testament, the seventh and final day of the week. On this day, the people of God were called to not work at all, but to rest. And notice that this commandment wasn't given just to Moses or Aaron or any other singular leader in Israel. Rather, it was given collectively to all of God's people of old, and to all who were within their houses too. Did you notice that? This is what the scripture said. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. So, why did God give his people this command? Well, it was to lead them to remember what he had done for them. The Bible tells us that. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Because of God's deliverance of his people, God called them to rest and to weekly remember his work of deliverance for them. You know, we find the giving of the Ten Commandments one other place in Scripture as well. You probably know that in Exodus chapter 20, it records the Ten Commandments. But we see there another reason that's shared for God's people to follow this third commandment. In Exodus 20, the commandment begins the same way. It begins like this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And then the command goes on to include, again, everyone in the Israelites' household. But then it adds this. This is different. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in Exodus, God calls his people to rest because it follows the pattern that God observed when he created the world. If God can create the world in 6 days and then rest the next, then his people can, and his people should, surely take a day of rest too. And in Deuteronomy, God calls his people to rest and to remember his deliverance of them from Egypt. Because if God can do that for his people, then they are called to remember it and to respond in thanks and praise. But you may remember that Israel seemed to have a problem with remembering, didn't they? Even after God had delivered them from their Egyptian masters, it didn't take long until God's people cried out that they would rather have died in Egypt. And even after crossing over the Red Sea and being delivered again from their pursuers, it didn't take long until God's people complained and wailed, wishing they were back in Egypt rather than being hungry in the desert. And even when Moses went up to meet with God on Mount Sinai, it didn't take long for the people of God to fashion a god of their own hands by making a golden calf, forgetting their God and what he had done for them once again. God knows his people, doesn't he? He knows what they need better than they even do themselves. And he graciously gives them just that for their blessing. And so God gives to his people this command so that they would remember who they are, a people created by God. And God gives his people this command so that they would remember whose they are, a people delivered and redeemed by God's mighty hand. And in this way, the Sabbath rest then was also meant to point God's people ahead, to point them ahead to the rest for God's people that would come in Christ. I know it's an oversimplification, to be sure, but we often talk about how the Old Testament is all about the promise of what's to come, right? It's all about the promise of a Savior yet to come. And the New Testament is all about the Savior who came in Jesus the Christ. In that vein, it makes sense then that this commandment to God's people in the Old Testament wasn't the end-all or be-all in and of itself. And we can see that's true, right? Rest is good, of course. But no matter how much we rest, we can rest assured that we will still get tired again later on. And remembering who we are and whose we are is good. It's important to our lives of faith, but that alone doesn't solve for us the problem of sin and death. That's why this command leads God's people of old not just to rest from their labors, not just to remember who and whose they were, but rather this command points them ahead. It points them ahead to the promise of a Savior still yet to come, a Savior who would live and die and rise in victory over sin and death, so that whoever believes in him would have the promise of a perfect rest and of eternal life in him. This commandment points ahead to a Savior who spoke these words in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So in this way, this command of God has always been intended to be a blessing to God's people and not a burden. We are assured of that in our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 2. The Pharisees, as they often did, they were so caught up in their legalism that they had turned the third commandment into a burden and not a blessing. They made umpteen laws about what could and couldn't be done on the Sabbath. And to make matters worse, then they would lie in waits, and they would try and trap those who did anything on that day. But what did Jesus say to them? Jesus speaks this truth to them, doesn't he? He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." What does that mean? That means that the Sabbath is meant to be a blessing to God's people, to give them rest, to remind them of who and whose they are, and ultimately to point them to Christ. And it still does all of that today. No longer are we bound to take Saturday off, but we are still called as Christians to set aside time to worship the Lord weekly, to rest from the busyness of our weekly schedules so that we can hear His word, receive His gifts, and be reminded again of who we are and whose we are as well. We are a people created by God, and we are a people who God has delivered from death through His Son. Just like the Israelites struggle to remember those things at times, we do too, don't we? We get busy, and we get run down, and we forget who is really in control. We become anxious and overwhelmed, and we forget the one who has made us His own. We get our priorities mixed up, and soon we find ourselves with the practice of our faith somewhere far down our list of priorities, if it's even on our list at all. We need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are too. Sinners like you and me, we need to be pointed back to Jesus again and again. And remember, this blessed command of God is not just given to you or to me, but it's given to all of God's people. That means it's not just given to the people who are here in church today, but also to those who are not as well. So let me ask you this. When we hear this commandment preached or taught on, where are we usually? Usually here, right? Right here at church, trying our best to keep this commandment. And so what are we sometimes tempted to do then? We're tempted to maybe give ourselves a little pat on the back and think, even for just a moment, about how great we are. That's one temptation, but of course there's another, right? We might hear about this commandment and we might be tempted in another direction. We might hear about this and immediately we might think of all the other people that we know who aren't here, who really need to hear it. And then maybe we're tempted to look down on them. You know, I would suggest that both of those responses send us in the wrong direction, doesn't it? For as we have seen, God's blessing and command of Sabbath doesn't just call your pastor to keep the Sabbath, and God doesn't just call your church elders or your council members to keep the Sabbath either, and He doesn't just call you individually to do it. Instead, it's a blessing that God has given in love to all of the household of faith. So what should that mean for us? It should mean that we don't hear about the third commandment and simply pat ourselves on the back or look down on others. Instead, we should hear about the third commandment and we should strive to do all that we can to make sure that our family and our church family receives God's blessing through it too. That means bringing your children to church. That means encouraging and inviting your grandchildren or your adult children to come with you. That means praying that your siblings would come as well. That means reaching out to your church friends who you haven't seen in a while or maybe a really long time. That means inviting the friend next door who grew up in church but doesn't have a faith family of their own anymore. Do we do that? Do we regularly do that? Do we always seek to do that in love for those around us and in full faith, in the great blessing of rest that God gives us here on earth and forever in Christ. I'll speak for myself. I strive to do that. But sometimes I come up short. Sometimes I don't do that nearly as well as I should. Sometimes I don't do it at all. And I would have to believe that the same is true for you. So what then? What do we do then when we fail as Christians? What do we do when we miss the mark? What do we do when we are yet again hit squarely between the eyes with the reality that we are sinners in need of a Savior? We come to this place where God reminds us who we are, His creation. Come to this place where we are reminded whose we are, baptized and forgiven children of the triune God. And we come to this place to be pointed to Jesus, the one who died and rose for you, the one who is truly present in this holy meal to bring you his forgiveness, the one who gives us rest in him both now but also for all time yet to come. And so may we continue to do that. May we continue to joyfully gather together here in this place. And may we seek out and seek to reach out in love to those in our family and those in our church family and all of those in our circles of influence, that they might do the same. Not to burden them, and certainly never to belittle them, but rather to bless them, that they might experience anew the true blessing that it is to follow God's design for our lives, to be reminded of who we are and what God has done for us, and to always be pointed again to Jesus, our Savior, the one who gives us true and lasting rest forevermore. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Amen.